Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:09, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 3rd. And perhaps the most notable thing that happened today was that, having identified yesterday that we had a short-term oversold condition in the oil price, that we have had a bit of a bounce in here today, and both Brent and West Texas Intermediate were up by about $1.60. That helps to signal that we're not going to have just one-way action in the oil price, but it needs to do quite a bit more than a rally on a single day to undo the technical damage that has been done to the uptrend that's been in evidence since early January. And a point that has been reiterated in just about every audio is over the last few months is that following a massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend, such as we've seen over the last 5-6 months in the oil price, that we can anticipate that the most likely scenario is that there's going to be followed by a period of right-hand extension, which is largely characterized by a great deal of volatile ranging. So perhaps this might be a near-term low, but it's certainly too early to conclude that, and yet what we can anticipate is that there is going to be volatility in the oil price. And against that background, what we've seen is that the Brazilian market today was up 1.57%, and that is now, and it really is worth looking at the medium term downtrend. It's breaking the progression of lower rally highs, and it's being helped along by the fact that commodity prices generally, and not least iron ore, have steadied up, that oil prices have steadied in here today, and also, of course, that it has significantly higher interest rates. So overnight deposits pick up quite a significant yield. And all of those things conspire to really get people interested in Brazil once more. And of course, you have the Olympics starting on Friday, which will turn the global media's attention towards Brazil. And of course, you have a new administration in government there as well. So there are many things going right for Brazil. And of course, when we look at the oil price and look at Brazil, it's probably worth also looking at Russia, which steadied in here today. Both the Australian and the Canadian markets were in, the Canadian market was in positive territory, but really only mildly. And Australia has run up so quickly already, and particularly following the interest rate cut, that has weighed on the stock market a little bit, and it is susceptible to some mean reversion in here. But generally speaking, it would need to sustain a move below the MA to really question the medium-term potential for higher lateral ranging. Hong Kong was open again today and was down 1.75%, but relative to what it had gone up already, this isn't really a downward dynamic, and the CSI 300 was actually in positive territory today, so probably Hong Kong more responding to the fact that most markets were down yesterday and just playing catch-up. The Nikkei, however, was down almost 2%, and that's against a background where the yen is continuing to test this 100 level. It's at 101.22 right now, and really that 100 level does need to hold. If the yen strengthens very much beyond it, then that is not going to be good news for the stock market. And the Nikkei, in common with Europe, and there are a number of comparisons or parallels one can draw between the deflationary impact of negative interest rates on Japan and the same thing within Europe. And both indices are, both sets of indices are testing the region of their trend means and progressions of lower rally highs, and they really do need to break those progressions to begin to signal that demand has returned to dominance beyond short-term steadying. The FTSE was also a little bit weaker in here today, but it is interesting, and I think it really does help to highlight that the UK banking sector has been much steadier than the Eurozone's banking sector, and that's notwithstanding the fact that a number of those UK banks have been, you know, quite heavily exposed to Europe. And they have their own issues that they have to get over. But interesting too that HSBC, having trended lower for over 3 years, has broken now that progression of lower rally highs, and not least because it is holding its dividend and its yield is among the most competitive of any major share, and is significantly above its peers within the financial sector. And I think we could say that is an international phenomenon and not just particular to the UK. But the relative strength of the UK's banking sector, particularly when compared to the weakness that we see in Europe, then that also helps to drive home the point that Brexit is much more of a problem for Europe than it is for the UK. And the euro today was weaker by about 75 ticks. And when we look at the euro, what we're presented with is an inconsistent trend. It really has been largely range-bound between about 105 and 115 for about a year and a half. It's currently in the middle of that range, and there is nobody in Frankfurt wants to see it stronger than 115, and by the same token, there aren't many people in Washington wants to see it below 105, so we are locked in this range. But when we look at any range, we give the benefit of the doubt to the most recent upward dynamic and our dynamic, and the most recent one was upwards last week. So there is potential that we get a more positive tone on Europe, and not least because a lot of the optimism about the Fed raising rates has been already tailed back. And when we look at the bond markets, it was a relatively quiet day. Wall Street finished out the day in mildly positive territory, but what we are continuing to see is that there has been a rotation, and that the biotech sector in particular has now broken a year-long progression of lower rally highs and is looking to be a much more bullish type chart pattern than we've seen for quite some time. And of course it's been led higher by Biogen, and that is particularly interesting because it was Biogen's relative underperformance that signaled really the end of what had been a very enthusiastic period of investor interest in biotech shares. It was biotech posting really disappointing results around this time last year that was the first shot across the bows of what had been a very impressive uptrend prior to that. And now it is Biogen now starting to outperform once more, which is leading the sector out of what had been a year-long malaise. And that looks to be one of the more attractive sectors out there right now, not least because of the commonality that's evident within it. The other interesting point with regard to the energy sector is natural gas. And natural gas today was up by about 11 cents, and the kind of volatility that we have seen in oil prices has been largely absent from natural gas pricing. And this continues to look like a bullish consolidation in mostly above the 200-day moving average. And that would really help to ram home the point that natural gas is marching very much to its own beat, that it isn't overly influenced by the increasing competition between Saudi Arabia and Iran, or the drilling of unconventional oil and gas, although of course unconventional oil throws off a great deal of gas. What it is perhaps more indicative of is that the consumption of coal has gone down quite considerably in the US, and that is being replaced by natural gas, and that prices are still really quite cheap relative to where they become, I guess, largely economic, which is around $4 per BTU, and they're currently around $2.84. And in the precious metal markets today, gold was down a bit and silver was down about 25 cents. Both gold and silver have been consolidating their earlier advances and remain in these short-term ranges. Platinum has been leading on the upside, and it was down very slightly in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. And of course, one of the reasons that the precious metals are attracting such interest right now is for the simple reason that in a negative interest rate environment where a substantial proportion of all of the sovereign bonds in the world yield negative, then an asset that cannot simply be lent into existence despite the fact that it doesn't pay any yield at all looks rather attractive against a negative interest rate environment. And it also speaks to the debasement of currency that we can anticipate is going to accelerate as more central banks move towards various versions of quantitative easing, and the potential for fiscal easing is looking progressively likely, more likely, in a large number of jurisdictions. So then, with the potential for an outright inflationary bias to combat what is a deflationary bias that we see in a number of areas right now, then the potential for precious metals to continue to outperform is, I think, perhaps the base case at this stage. And the pullback that we've seen in Bitcoin, which is largely a rerun of the kind of security concerns at some of the Bitcoin exchanges that saw prices decline last year, well, it bounced today from the region of the 200-day moving average and closed well off of its low. And Bitcoin, despite some of the security concerns at the warehouses for the cryptocurrency, shares a number of the attractive characteristics of precious metals in that it cannot simply be lent into existence. And that should help to support prices, and I think we could give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, provided it can hold today's lows. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.